gone one up top. We're gone one up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're gone one up top. We're gone one up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You're listening to the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And you are very welcome back to Series 2 of One Up Top. My name is Jamie and we are back with a bang, although nobody expected that.
No, to be fair, yeah, I don't think me and anyone expected it this time last week.
No,
it was a strange off-season. I think we both wanted it and didn't want it at different times.
That sounds like both of our relationships, to be honest.
But it sort of came and gone. This one last week we weren't doing it. Like, I think it was 5 o'clock table talk in the morning.
I think I spoke to it a couple of times and I had a few drinks on me, and Tommy O'Gara saying, go on, we'll bring it back, and then wake up next morning saying, absolutely not, no chance, or I can't put myself through this again. But we are back again. What episode is it?
It's episode 25, I believe.
24, and that's not your age anyway.
It is on Tinder.
We've got a new studio here. It's not a shed in the back arse of an industrial estate. It's a shed in the back arse of Inglis.
It's a place we like to call home.
Soon to be home anyway.
But yeah, I suppose we'll just start off by, we left us all at the live show. And I thank everyone for coming. It was fucking, to describe it, was bleeding mental. Let's be quite honest. Which is
in over our heads nearly at some stage.
It just grew legs and multiple legs. It was a fucking octopus at one stage. But the only thing, I was glad that Alan Cardy never brought his young flick. He got called into Ireland. I'm just delighted, because there was 45 minutes of Paddy Kirk and Oscar Brennan, and I'm like, that should never see the light of day, because there'll be certain players not going to certain countries after that.
I was nearly shocked that there was a couple of hundred people live streaming it as well. I was thinking, geez, you must have nothing else to do with your night, lads. Yeah. Have a fucking wank or something. Jesus Christ.
I enjoyed it, it was good.
And I want to thank Key Crew again, once again, from the back page, and all the team down there who looked after us that night. They put on a great show. Given the circumstances with COVID, I mean, imagine if we could do it now. We make twice as much money. I've a bit of a debt after last weekend with the bus not going, so there'll be a couple of good reasons to do that. We are going to keep the podcast going, not weekly though. We have too many issues around doing it weekly.
Look, the main issue is we're piss heads. That's been quite bluntly honest.
We're rampant piss heads.
Like, people don't genuinely believe. I think it was the Monday against Derry. We had no podcast for that week, and we're like, well, who are we going to get? We've been out on the piss all weekend. And the first man to walk up the stairs, Sam Gregan, I said, "Oi, Sam," I said, "Hey, what are you doing tomorrow?" And he was like, "No, looking at me, nothing more." He said, "Grand, you're on the podcast." And that was episode whatever that was. But
So some nights I'd find myself making phone calls to people on a Monday saying, "Look, we're recording tomorrow, can you come in?" And they say, "Yeah, look, I'd love to do it, but I can't do it tomorrow." And there was too many times that we were just unorganised. And as you said, it was down to the fact that we'd record, we'd release, we'd go on the piss before you know it, we're back in work. And
yeah,
we just don't have time to double job it.
I think people should probably appreciate people actually do this every week. People that do put in the hard fucking hours.
Well, most of them are losers though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
No method, no. Anyway, look, we're back season 2. It'll be witches every few weeks. It won't be every week, because you're going to hear the same stories over, and this is going to be told in a different manner.
We do have a couple of different guests that we want to bring on. People that we didn't get to. I mean, like, people were crying out for Dave Mulcahy. Look, we've got his number. We will try to get him up. Jason Bourne, Glenn Crow. You know, there's a man named Roddy Collins who let us down for the live show.
Believe it. Podcast this week.
he's on Talking Bollocks, and he's on, I believe, another Rovers podcast. I think, yeah. I wouldn't fucking bother listening to that show. Considering he got Rovers relegated, I don't know what they want to do with him. So, yeah. But we will get Roddy on at some stage over the course of the season. So probably expect about 10 or 15 episodes out of us. Maybe.
Yeah, I think we'll be happy with that. You should be happy with that. Probably get sick of listening to us, but
absolutely, yeah, well, yeah.
Here we go again, boys.
Absolutely. So we'll probably kick off with just a bit of a review going into the start of this season. You know, obviously our game against Sligo was called off. Disappointingly, that, you know, with a couple of full buses, trains, people still went down. What the fuck was that about? There was a full train of lads.
Well, I know Dan Martin went down because he's a fucking mutual who didn't want to waste the train fare.
I believe Dan Martin, his train got delayed. He spent 8 hours on a train and 4 hours in Sligo and came back.
I got stuck in my mute and broke down.
there was a couple of games that were on. Rovers beat UCD, obviously, it was probably no one would have not expected that. Sligo, St Pat's trumped Shells 3-0. Damien Duff's first game in charge for Shells. They made, the whole week was about Damien Duff. It was Duff or this, Duff or that, Duff or that.
Sounds like the cup final for us, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it?
Everything was about balls and it comes back in their face.
It does, doesn't it? And Shells were beaten 3-0. And then the other game, Finn Harps was called off. And then Derry, who are, you know, some are saying a title contender this year. I strongly disagree with that, to be honest. They drew 2-2 with Dundalk up in Oriel Park on the plastic pitch. So we're going into a week of games, and you know, we've got to look at the other teams around us, Jordan. Who do you fancy this year? I know probably Rovers are probably top of the bill there with you, but is there anyone that might stick out and say, right, they're going to have a challenge, or is it going to be us?
I don't think it's going to be us. I'm sure we'll talk about Bosmer in the season preview very shortly. I didn't think Pats might stand a chance.
But looking at them the other night,
they weren't great. They weren't as good as the scoreline maybe reflected. They had the quality of players. Like, when you've got a striker like Gowan Doyle, who we're all praying has passed it, he doesn't look like he's passed it. Like, he's not a player who needs to be told by Tim Clancy what to do, like, exactly, at the end of the day.
He's playing alongside with Darragh Burns, who looks like he's going to be the star man for them, as well as Mark Doyle, who got a goal as well. I mean, he's a great young player.
Mark Doyle's got the year of Premier Division football under his belt. Doyle's got fucking numerous years of football on the
field. 33,
yeah. You've got Giff Forrester putting the fucking strings behind him, and he's had to find an immense form from last season into this season. And I don't know, that's because his fucking contracts are built up again.
They made Shells, I know it's a new put together Shells team. They made Shells look all over the shop. The likes of Aaron O'Driscoll, I wanted to sign him all year. He looked like a bomb scare the other night. Mark Coyle looked really poor. I think Jack Moylan probably looked the best out of that Shells side. Player that was not in Keith Long's plans for this year, which is, some people might find disappointing, but you know, if you're a Shells fan, you're looking at that performance, you might be a little bit worried that all the emphasis on Duffer might not be as much as it might not be reflecting in performances.
A similar situation you had, except for it wasn't the man on the bench, it was the man in the middle of the pitch. All the emphasis was on Mr. Derry Geegan.
Absolutely, I think whoever's running the Shells PR, you might want to pull back a little bit. Anyways, there was two other teams there we mentioned, Dundalk and Derry. I mean, Dundalk, massive rebuild, Stephen O'Donnell's back there. He's brought in four lone players, a bit like ourselves. They all started the other night as well. A new goalkeeper, a couple of good centre-halves there still. Brian Gartland, our friend Brian Gartland, who we've seen in the night out a couple of times. Yeah. And Ryan Connolly, they brought back, 30-year-old centre-half who was playing over in Scotland.
I suppose we'll just talk about the Brian Gartland.
We were
in Jimmy Rabbit's, and I went in to go for a hit and miss in the Jacks. I was walking in, and you know, my natural reaction of seeing the opposition player just insult them.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it wasn't too bad considering it was Gartland, because I've called him stuff there. He's actually called me some stuff back as well. But I looked at him and shouted, Gartland, you bollocks.
You know it's Gartland because his fucking top half is twice the size as his fucking legs. Fucking, he's like a washing machine walking around. He is.
And so I went to the Jacks and realised, holy Jesus, what have I done? So went back out and he's like, oh fuck. So he walked up to me. He actually knew who we were. So it wasn't too bad. I'm having a chat with him now, but sound cunt.
Yeah, he's a good fella. And look, he's back out of his injury, so I'll probably wish Brian all the best this year. Derry City, biggest shithouses in the league, managed to get the billionaire owner now at this stage, is after selling all of his company, putting a bit of money in, but it's not the overhaul of talent you might have thought. Like, they got Matty Smith, they got the McElhenney brothers, Michael Duffy's obviously a good player. Michael Duffy didn't play during night. Will Patching back. It's not a massive overhaul of talent when you think around the league. Like,
I thought about this a few weeks ago, and I think they're building smart rather than building fast. I think it's not good. Look, obviously they're going to be the ones that want the challenge for the league title this year. But I think it could be something that they build on over two or three seasons rather than just trying a shitload of money and seeing what sticks. I know they brought all the boys home. Maybe they're starting on that and they'll work around that. And I think it could be next year or the year after they really push a challenge.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think I watched an interview with Shane McElhenney, who said it's all about bringing back the culture to Derry City and bringing back kind of a couple of all stars like that. And I think you're right there. It'll be a slow build, but it'll be a good build in the long run. And you mean, maybe not this year, but certainly next year we can see Derry up the top of the table, competing with
Bastards. But I'm not sure how long or
yeah,
or how many points.
Look down the other end of the table. I mean, UCD an absolute cert to go down. You can imagine Liam Kerrigan and Colin Whelan will be out the door in July. Who else will go down with them? Like, you're looking at maybe Drogheda United, who've lost pretty much fucking everyone.
Yeah.
Killian Phillips gone, Daniel Riley gone, Connor Kane gone,
James
Brown playing with football with Ben Barrett and Diaz now instead of fucking playing in United Park or whatever. I mean, you wouldn't turn that down any day of the week, even if it is in the 23s at the moment.
Mark Doyle gone and the keeper's gone to Pats.
Keeper's
well,
gone, no, the Musso's gone to Pats. Pats signed two new goalkeepers this year. So look, I think they'll be in around that. I don't think Harps will go down, just to Harps are just a staple now at this stage.
Yeah, Ollie's brought in a few faces as well from all over the shop too, which is a bit fucking un-Ollie like.
Yeah.
I know he picked up a few local boys from the fucking Northern League as well.
I don't know, he must just go on Football Manager and just find someone and say, come here, I'm going to bring him. We've got Flat and Letterkenny or something.
Height and physicality only.
I'm wondering, like, he signed Bastien Harry, and I'm just thinking, we talk about that cunt every fucking week. I'm like, what's he going to do with Finn Harps? Because Ollie Horgan wants players to work their bollocks off and knock the shit out of players. Like, Bastien Harry just seems like a sore thumb on that thing.
Yeah, I don't know if you last man. Ollie, I can't see Ollie putting up with it. What? Don't get me wrong, I don't think he's going to understand a word Ollie's going to say to him.
I think he might turn a few fucking heads if they see him walking around Letterkenny on a Saturday night or something like that. Unless he's still fucking mad, yeah. And then look, another team, I know we didn't play them on the weekend, we're probably midweek, Sligo Rovers. They looked fairly vanilla on paper before they signed a couple of other New Zealand centre half. They got another striker in, so I think they could be a bit of a vanilla year for them. Like, they might not be hit the same heights. They've got European football again, fair play to them. A couple of players have gotten a little bit older. Greg Bulger, I think, has gone 34 this year. You know, he's a player that we'd always admired. Admire and hate.
Admire and hate. Like, you hate us, we hate him. And you probably think, you know what? We've always said you need to fucking sign the cunt.
Yeah.
But he's the sort of bastard you need in the team. He's the sort of bastard you want to be in the dressing room, you know, getting the young players going, getting them through. And then once they go off in under 21 duties, he'll
bring you back in, yeah.
Boom.
Oh, yeah.
Unless it's a page of the Celtic, that's all I'm saying.
A very fishy player. But and they've lost Johnny Kenny, who went to Celtic. They've lost John Matten, who's a fucking massive loss. He's absolutely outstanding last year. So look, we see how we line up against them. But look, that's how it's looking for next year. I mean we're not gonna we'll put a finger on Bowes now in a minute, but who do you reckon's gonna win it? It's probably gonna be Rovers, unfortunately, isn't it?
I think Scum are gonna win it, sadly. I think it's three in a row.
Yeah.
European places. I put me bollocks. I think Pats are going to do it now.
I was unsure about Pats now. I think they will.
I don't know. They looked at them the other night, and Alan Doyle, if he fires,
Alan Doyle could probably score 15, 20 goals this year. If he doesn't get injured,
then I think it's going to be Derry Tord, and to be quite honest, I think it's going to be Usher Dundalk for Fox.
Yeah, I think I'd somewhat agree with you. I might swap Tord and Fox.
I'm just hoping that Steve O'Donnell has the same four season you had with Pats as he did.
I think you're right. I think if Keith Ward is one of your marquee signings, like, he's a bit fucking past it now at this stage. He's a little legend and all that, but he's a fat little bollocks. But come here, we'll move on to ourselves now, Jordan. Let's look at players we've lost. Georgie Kelly.
Told you with me about playing actually.
If you could see the smile on this cunt's face right now. Yeah, you're right. And he signed for fucking Rotherham.
He's not getting a kick for that.
He's not. I think he got to the bench.
No, but he's not going to. Is he championship level?
I don't think so. No. I think he owed us another year. I think Georgie Kelly owed us another year for making him the main man.
I don't blame him. The opportunities don't come often.
Absolutely.
He's 25 years of age. He's not a younger.
They're top of League One. They're going to be in the championship. I think he owed us another year. As we made him the number one fella, we literally built a fucking team around him. We said, right, you're going to be the number nine, essentially. But yeah, look, all the best, and wouldn't ever hold that against him. If he signed for Derry City, I'd be pretty fucking annoyed.
Ah, that'd be mine. Look, he's got a 3-year contract there. He's going to make a few ball. But no, he's the sort of lad that comes across if he wants to play football. But if you're going to the championship, he's probably not going to see much of the bench even going with the manager's comments lately.
Look, unless he is the player that he looks like sometimes, but you never know. Rob Cornwall. I'm gonna say it right now, Rob Cornwall, absolute legend. He's a Bowes hero as far as I'm concerned, following the last 5 years. You know, probably not his best season in centre half. But yeah, absolute on and off the pitch, an absolute fucking legend of a man. He came down and played football with us a few weeks ago. And yeah, he's no big loss, unfortunately.
I think he's gonna be lost. I wouldn't have thought he would be glass on the pitch. I was hoping he'd maybe. Look, Rob's a legend. We know him personally, and fucking, he's given us a good 5 solid years, and he's gone off to America's fucking best.
Probably live the dream.
He's lived the dream.
Fucking dream, eh?
Like, if you've offered me to go support him, if he's already fucking gone. But I think while Rob went, I think maybe I didn't see that there might be a bit of blinded loyalty towards him. the fact that, you know, a lot of people, fans get on well with him, and he saw his there so long, you know, he's part of the furniture. But maybe him going was an opportunity to bring someone in of the next level. That's no disrespect to Rob, but we're obviously going to touch on that. It hasn't happened.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a massive point there, man. Honestly, it's the one that fucking annoys me every night as well.
He said that as well. It was like, you know, Wardy leaving, Bucco leaving. I know maybe Bucco's a bit different. Rob leaving. And it was nearly like, remember I was chatting to a few people, everyone thought, I said, maybe it could be. We're trying to look positively out. So this could be a blessing in disguise that the old guard is gone. You're bringing in new faces of the higher calibre.
A lot of people said, just gut the fucking team now. Gut the culture, that squad, because it was such a bad year and we need a bit of a fresh start. Look, see, people will agree with that. People won't agree with it. It's happened, so we have to accept it. One player who, I think this is the one signing that actually annoyed me more than nothing else. It was actually Anthony Breslin leaving, because we did offer him money. I think he's the best left back in the league, personally. No disrespect to Tyreek Wilson. He's gone to Pats. You know, when we lose a player to a team that's in around our level, in around our budget, it feels like it's a bit of a slap in the face, isn't it?
It's horses for courses, I think, with those two. I've said it. Personally, I'm a Tyreek man, given his free kick ability.
I'm a Tyreek man. Fair enough.
And some people are like that. He's probably got the guts. He must have won us about 7 or 8 points last year on goals.
Yeah. I think the only thing that disappointed me with...
He has the goals in him. I think that can be a big difference as a matches.
Yeah, I mean, he could score. I think, what did he get, 3 last year? He hit the bar a couple of times as well.
Rattled the bar in the cup final too. Yeah,
I know, yeah.
But no, Tariq's a good lad, and I think that...
It looks like he could be captain as well.
Yeah,
he was sent out to do the media day in the Aviva Stadium. He won the armband a couple of times last year. It's very possible. We don't know who the guy captain is, but I have a bit of a hunch that it could be him.
Yeah, and on the Anto Breslin side, Anto, I think, is an excellent defender. You know what you're going to get out of him every week. I think he's a fairly 7 out of 10.
Yeah, with Dennis Irwin, like Carter, isn't he?
You know what you're getting with him. But at the same time, I can understand that, you know, left back isn't a position that's very doesn't fluctuate. It did for us over last year.
It did.
One of those maybe you want to cement. I know every player wants to cement the position, but it's if you lose your place in that position, it's very hard to get it back.
Absolutely, especially with Keith Long as well. If you make one mistake, you're out.
Yeah,
and you're swapped.
Absolutely.
Ross Tierney, I've seen a player that's, I know with Danny Grant last year, I think it's the same as Danny Grant going, that the absolute support and the general fans getting behind the player that's left and just following them every step of the way. Now, I know it hasn't really kickstarted for Danny yet, but Ross Tierney's hit the ground running. He's in the Motherwell team. He got himself a goal in the last minute to level up with St Mirren. Like, he's just someone that everyone just wishes the world for.
Yeah,
he's a great lad as well.
You can see that boy. Like, if you look at anytime Ross Tierney comes on, the retweets, all Bowles fans, it seems like it's like one of your own gone over, which he is, in fairness.
Yeah, I think so. I think a Motherwell fan said, "We has bullet in the 90th minute."
Wait, is he going to take
it? She's
oh, I fucking hate that joke.
A captain gone. He was captain for 2 years. He's deputised the armband plenty of times. Played for us for, what is it? Just the guts of 10 years. Keith Buckley, yeah. Bar a spell in Bray where he signed for more money. But we'll leave that in the dust. He's gone to Australia with his missus. Won't begrudge anyone for...
Has he got in yet? He's fucking tried enough times in the finals.
I heard he's waiting in purgatory for that. Sure, it took Rob Cornwall long enough to get a visa, I heard as well. But Buckley leaving. Is it... I mean, captaincy aside, player-wise... Is he irreplaceable by league standards?
I don't think by league of Ireland standards anyone's irreplaceable. I think we can say that. You look, you know, Danny Grant left and Liam Board comes in.
Yeah.
Bucco's now different, although Bucco was a different type of player, which I haven't seen any of Jordan Doherty. I haven't seen any of JJ McCarron. I don't know what they bring. I know a few people went to friendlies, McSherry. You can the people with a lack of sexual interest or pleasure has gone to these pre-season friendly. I'm surprised AJ went, because he's a well pleasured man.
What you're trying to say is anyone that went to a pre-season friendly is a complete and utter virgin.
Correct. But look, as I said, courses for courses. I was dating them when I couldn't speak English and they were going to the League of Ireland. So neither of us really enjoyed ourselves, did they?
But yeah, it's obviously Buckley. Look, it's replacing the captain is especially difficult. Thankfully, when Detzer left, we had Bucco to replace him, and now this year we've got a bit of a dilemma. Let's get down to a bit of hate now. Andy Lyons, I mean, a gutless fucking nerd. Absolute fucking gutless, Nick. I'm not even sad that he's gone. As a player, I think he's digressed massively.
No, he was very poor last year.
I think we can see the same goal over and over. If you close your eyes in the 90th minute, imagine a ball to the back post. You can just imagine Andy Lyons there and fucking shit in the bed. That happened over and over last year. Happened the year before as well.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a big loss unless he fucking massively improves at Rovers, which I don't think he will.
I think if we had lost Andy Lyons, I don't think it would have been that big of a blow. I think the blow standard at that we lost Andy Lyons and Keith Long had banked on him either going to England or not going to England, which is what he allegedly told Keith. Yeah. He said, and he was training with us in pre-season. And I know his agent may or may not be putting out these crew rumours and all blah blah blah. He might have mentioned to a journalist who said that Andy Lyons had an offer from crew, but you know they couldn't, Bowes wouldn't meet the money. President John O'Connor Chippy,
yeah.
He came out and said this is bollocks, that there was no offer on the table, and Andy Lyons essentially signed for Rovers off the back of Lyons.
Wasn't the same journalist who covered pretty much Bowes' departures all week in the cup final and didn't mention that about Stephen O'Donnell basically already being out the door? Wasn't that same journalist, was it?
I like him, I think he's a really good journalist.
So Andy Lyons going, I mean, no big loss to be honest, but haven't really replaced anyone in that position.
Packham has come in.
Sam Packham, yeah. I mean, that's
a phone call to take him into this apartment.
I see Dan Lambert tweet, I'm looking for a one-bedroom apartment. This fella better be fucking good if he's getting a one-bedroom apartment in Dublin. It costs about fucking 1,600-1,700 quid a fucking month. Let's talk about both players in now. And I think we've had a pretty decent transfer window in the attacking half of the pitch. Maybe not so much in the defence. We'll start with Junior, who's been around the league, was the top scorer in 2019 with Derry. Can play out wide, can play up front. Don't know if he's going to be our number one striker. I think it's going to be Promise Omoshare this year.
From what I gathered, I think he was signed to be the striker. I don't think he is. I think it's going to be Promise.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Yeah.
I think Junior has signed a multi-year deal. I know the quality. I wanted to sign him last year, but I have a feeling, given Twardek, given Bort, given Q, given Malin.
I know, Malin's like a new player this year as well, like if he stays injury free.
I'm not sure if fucking Junior's going to be a success.
I think, I don't like saying it, there could always be one flop every year. I have a bad feeling that could be Junior, to be honest.
It's going
to
be, yeah.
If there's going to be one player that flops, it's Junior. No, hopefully it's not on Bastien Harry levels, but like, it's potential to be that. We've got four loan players. Now, there's a lot of loan players coming to the league this year between Dundalk, Shells, Pats, everyone. I think everyone's got a loan player in except maybe the likes of Derry and Rovers. The loan is JJ McCain and Ryan Casty, both come from Watford. Both obviously knew Dawson Devine. I know Ryan Casty was positive. Sam Packham's come from Brighton, obviously the link with Brighton.
Grant Horton.
Yeah, and Grant Horton, who's come from a Cheltenham town.
Came from the Quay. What's Wardy's mate shop again? The fucking place that Paddy Kirk walked in.
As one,
Grant Horton. It's just above that.
I think Brian Kelly works in Grant Horton, does he? But he's a set to half. Apparently he's been pretty decent in training as well. And Max Murphy came from Rovers, who seemed to be reasonably rated as far as cover for left-back goes.
I think he's going
to
be another Alua.
I hope not. They sold us an absolute card with him. I think Alua's on his four club now.
He's
out of Larne now.
He's out of Larne, but he's after signing for Division 1 team.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He signed for Athlone Town.
Was he, yeah?
I think he signed for Athlone Town. He didn't, like, fucking hell. What an absolute fraud that man is. But, we've got also then in the middle, Jordan Doherty's been signed. I listened to his interview where someone said, you're going to play the Keith Buckley role. He said, no, I'm not. I'm playing the Jordan Doherty role. So that's a bit of a statement of intent to say, look, I want to make my mark in this group. He's been to Bowes matches as a kid. He's familiar.
But what I like about the signing is, and he's a young player and this, that and the other, he's a young player with 2 seasons of senior football under his belt over in America.
Exactly.
I think it might have been Championship or the second division over in America.
Tampa Bay Rowdies, wasn't it?
Tampa Bay Rowdies. Yeah. Bohemian Rowdies.
I seen someone go online and say the Dublin Bay Rowdies, and I buried my head into my hands and said, don't ever say that again. A player familiar to the club, Chris Twardek. He's back after going to Poland and Slovakia. You know, he was playing right back over in Slovakia.
That's right. I was thinking he played centre half.
Over there for Slanika. He left on the back of his.
It's good to have him back though. It's good to have these options. I know I'm talking about Junior, might not get the time and he could be a flop.
You could see options
that, you know, they're nearly scum level options.
You could see Twardek playing right back at some stage this year. You could genuinely see him on right back, and you could have Junior out on the right or Bert out on the right. You know, there's a lot of options going forward. Let's talk about Marquis signing here now. And it wasn't a centre half, it was Jordan Flores.
Jeez, I actually forgot about him.
Did you expect that? Like, I know he was on the radar last year, but
no, I really didn't. I don't know what his best position is going to be about.
I don't know where he fucking plays. I don't know where he gets in this team. Like you take Davoy out and throw Flores in. You probably will do that a couple of times.
The problem is Davoy could be out the door.
Well,
if the right transfer comes in.
I remember being in the pool in Thessaloniki, absolutely off my head, talking to Davoy's dad, who was seemingly his agent, and telling me that Davoy is going nowhere in the League of Ireland unless it's the right move in England. And obviously MK Dons wasn't the right move. Obviously he got over there and they said, look, you'll be in the 23. He said, no, fuck that, I'm starting. Like, the fella's got ambition, and his ambition is to be the best player at this at Bohemians, and wherever he goes, he wants to be the best player.
Which
there as well.
I think was what Andy Lyons was going to take, anything that came.
Yeah.
But here the offer from Crewe was a €400 a month contract. You got Jack Diggs, it was a 6-month contract for £400 a month. And you got £400 a week,
yeah.
And you got your digs, and that's why you're gonna get. And he was him and the horn about taking, I suppose. So that would just go and fucking tell you different levels. But Lyons just wanted to go to England at any desperate chance. And I think Davoy's
playing it cool. He's been over there before, he knows how harsh it can be on players. So like it's fairly clever from Dawson Davoy, really, isn't it? So Flores, you know, he's won the league with Dundalk. He's won a cup with Dundalk. We know he's got an absolute ping in him. He's played in Europe. He's played at a decent level over in England. So he's going to be a good player to have around the team. But let's look at the issue now. Let's look at the big issue with this team. And start with leaders. I mean,
most senior player is called Junior.
And
he's 27-year-old, which...
It's frightening, isn't it?
If we had said at the end of the season what they want more of, and I remember I think it was me and Ro and Dav were in a Derry hotel during that summer game, and we all went up for the weekend, and it was like, we need leaders here. Like, what we need is fucking a couple of senior players. We had a Derek Pender, we had a Mulcahy. What we had 10 years ago with no money,
we just don't have
we
now.
Don't have now with money.
And look, there's a couple of reasons we can put that down to, but I'm going to read out these ages: 22, 25, 23, 20, 20, 23, 20. That's our back line. I mean, there's Rory Feely's the oldest there. Rory Feely had a really bad year last year, bar a couple of decent games. I think he'd be starting right back. I think he has to have a massive season. This fella needs to prove that he's
worthy. Best player when he came on the cup final.
He was when he came on centre half. Now maybe everyone else was bollocks and Rory was fucking raring to go. I think he needs to prove this year that he's well capable of playing top flight football for a top three side. I think if he's not up to standard, he's got to be shown the door. And I say this as someone who's got really good faith in him this year.
Is he your trench, or who's
your trench? He's not. My trench this year is, I think Grant Horton's going to be a good player, and I also think James Finley is going to be a good player this year. It's been said a number of times that James Finley is the best trainer at this club. He's the best defender at this club. He had a fucking brain fart up in Finn Harps. Remember the first game?
Fucking the bleeding out, more or less. Nothing short.
Never recovered from that.
No.
He got an injury to his hand where apparently if he did damage to it again, he could be sidelined for a long time, but he played on with it. I mean, I think a couple of things happened with James Finley last year, and though this year, I think he's been made. You're the main man. You're in there with Kieran Kelly, probably.
I think Kelly's the main man.
Kelly probably the main man and Finley beside him, but I think James Finley is going to have a massive year. He's been 4 years at the club now.
Mm.
He's 19, 20, 21.
Yeah, he is. I think it could be a maker.
He's one of the more senior players, even though he's only 23.
It could be a make or break season for him, too. In terms of balls, I think if he doesn't have a good season, he could be shown the door.
Yeah, I think character wise, you know, we can always rely on James Talbot. I've heard that the boy is a pretty good character. I mean, he's someone that can carry us through a lot of games.
Yeah, but you know, Talbot, you know, you hear him shouting a lot. Talbot's a lunatic. He's a foot. Like, I don't know. Like, you see him shouting, you see him barking, but I don't know how much of this is productive. I don't know if this is just his national goalkeeping insanity. I'm not sure how productive it is.
That's what Pat Dunn said. Former guest Pat Dunn, former footballer. He tried to play in goal a couple of times. Yeah. Pat said, like, you know, James Talbot is an ideal fit for captain if he wasn't in goal.
Yeah, you that's know, probably a fair point.
It's just maybe you lose a bit of tenacity if your captain is in goal, essentially, without having someone in the middle of the park or like Derek Pender and right back, obviously milling people. So we might have a couple of issues along the back this year. I think one or two injuries at the back line and we're absolutely fucked. Now, we don't know if Sean Gwenton's going to be a senior player this year. We don't know. I know he was on trial over in England, got an injury, so he's back here. So we are missing that one fucking grab the game by the scruff and drag us through to a 1-0 win or get us out of a hole type player.
Yeah,
I think that's fair to say.
That's true. The one who will get us out of a hole, you just haven't got the fucking. You're looking at, like, you want one of those nearly in each line.
Yeah, in each line. I know. A lot of emphasis now on the likes of Promise, who's only, you know, was he 21 years of age to lead the line? You know, like, look, I think we're too young of a squad. This year, I hope it's not our downfall, to be honest. And I'm forever the optimist. I want us to come third place, to be honest, at least.
I'd be probably a bit less optimist. I think, you know, okay, we'll come to Christmas and there's the usual bleeding simpletons on Twitter.
Are you talking about me?
No, it wasn't me and you. Yeah, some simpletons on Twitter, but it wasn't those two simpletons. Yeah. It was usual people, you know, where's the signings, where's the money going, blah, blah, blah.
And it's hard to read, like, it's
and everyone's like, oh, it's only Christmas, relax, it's coming to January, you sign Junior, you sign Twardock, you sign Doherty, obviously, then.
Great signings.
And it's great signings coming in. You hear Dan Casey might be coming back. He wanted to sign, supposedly, and they basically, that fucking Sacramento, essentially just wouldn't let him go. I suppose he did want to come back.
He did want to come back. Lee Desmond's over there. They signed another Irish centre-half as well. So they have a couple of players over there. So Casey wanted to come back, but he's tied in for a contract.
Casey had to come back.
I'd be well.
If Lyons had a re-sign, maybe. I think it's a different backline.
He's a big lack backline, yeah. I don't think I'd want Andy Lyons there, to be honest.
No, you want, in fairness, you wanted him gone.
I wanted him gone, yeah, it's a cup final, yeah, pretty much. And now, look, you want to replace someone with someone better. Probably not happen this year. Sam Packham, we don't know what he's going to be like. We know he's another 20 player from Brighton and Hove Albion. So, look, we'll see how he gets on. We just touched on it there, look. What's the reason that we can't sign senior players? Like, why don't we sign players over 30? Well, I'm looking at that Ryan Connolly signing for Dundalk. He's 30 years old. He played in Scotland. He's come home. He's from Monaghan. He's been to Dundalk loads. He's 30 years of age. He's got a lot of experience. He scored last week. That was the player that we needed. Now, yeah. We've got a big budget. We've got money. Like, finances really shouldn't be a question. Like, so, why can't we get it?
Like, I know the great myth around is that Bowers, they're punching up the right budget. Our budget is one of the biggest in the league.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, it's in the, definitely up there. Like, it's not fucking... It's mixed on the patch. It's mixing... Not mixing Rovers or Derry, but, you know, it's enough there.
It's enough to be getting third place every year. You know, it should be in the ambition, third place European football, like, you know.
From what I gather is that, essentially, a lot of the problems lie. I heard we're meant to be signing Patrick Hogan, and that deal essentially fell through on the base that on a train at 7 o'clock at night time.
A lot of players don't want to train in the evening, a lot of players want to train in the morning. Now, we are a full time setup, regardless where we train in the evening or not, which is great to see. But you know, maybe it's the next step in being ambitious, like, you know.
It has to be. I'm not sure if that's down to fucking staff and work hours or who's working what jobs, yeah. And they can't give it up. Or in terms of players, from what I gather, they're meant to be literally just full time footballers. I remember even last year when Coote signed, after a month or two, I think Scott Allardyce texted me. He's like, he goes, see, can you get out of your job in the bank or something like that? And he says he's just fucking bored sitting around the house all day.
I can imagine players be like that, you know. But it's
as we said, like, training in the morning time and training night time, you're going to say, oh, well, what's the difference? The difference is the morning time you're training out, while it might not be fucking sunny or whatever, it's a bit warmer than freezing your bollocks off at 7
o'clock. Better conditions to train in.
You have the evening and the day to yourself rather than sitting around all day waiting to go.
And I'm sure, look, people at the club might say, well, that's not the case, but I'm telling you, probably most players will tell you this, unfortunately. Look, I think hats off to the club and everything that we've done in the community and growing the club. I mean, we're at fucking spilling over. We can't get fans on the ground at this stage.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe there is an extra step on the pitch now that the club needs to take.
I think training. I'm not going to say go full time, because we are essentially full time. I think we're just going to have to just go for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it's not going to make a difference in the budget, paying extra money, like, there's no point paying money for lesser players, because we're going to get into that stage in the league. You know, you probably, everyone's heard enough podcasts that the amount of players come in, this, that, and the other. But we're getting to a part now, you know, where a lot of the fans, like me and you, who were there 10 years ago when we were at Dort, and the frustration is probably building.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Especially after losing the cup final, where we were so close to glory. I mean, truth be told, we lost the cup final. Who scored the goals for Pats? Who scored the winner? Robbie Benson scored the winner penalty. Chris Forrester scored the goal. They're leaders. They're experienced players. We're going into this year without those type of players. Robbie Benson, like, he's gone back to Dundalk. I mean, the fella will hold his own up there in any game against any team. Like, you know, we're frustrated because we don't have these type of players. We're frustrated because the club can do a lot better on the pitch. And look, maybe this year we might put a few wrongs to right.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe going in this year without the expectation of last year might do the fans a little bit of good.
The Bass and Harry signing, I think, notched it up. I thought this could be the one that takes us from second to fourth. And what I've noticed probably in the last few years, particularly the four set of series of games, sets the standard nearly for the season.
Yeah.
The time we came second, we came third, we had a great start.
Yeah.
You look last year, Sligo had a great start. They were competing for the title, if that's what you want to call it. They were challenging essentially for the first 10, 12 games. And they had a bit of a drop, then they completely went off the wagon. They still finished third in the league.
We didn't get it going till the ninth game against Finn Harps.
We got it going just before Europe. Dropped off after Europe. I mean, just inconsistent. So I think it's important to get a really good start in this league.
Do you think the first 10 games are pretty much the most important of Keith Long's career right now? He's got 2 years.
Especially what you asked me.
He's got 2 years. No, well, look, he's got 2 years left in his contract. I mean, we can't have another year like last year. It doesn't justify the money that we're spending.
Don't think it would be...
I'm not saying sack Keith Long. I'm just saying, are they the most important to last year?
The fucking people called for Keith Long said after 3 games last year. Me and you were the ones fucking...
It's a terrible thing to say about Pino.
He doesn't listen.
I'm Frankie Lally as well.
She works at the club.
No, it's Jimmy Dingham.
The whole keep your Keith Long thing out is... And even after the cup final, I think a lot of people are saying, is his time up? And everyone's thinking, and then you're sort of coming to realisation.
Yeah, who comes in and whatnot. Names can be thrown around. I mean, look, if Keith Long was leaving them on, the only man I'd want in is Paul Cook, but he took the Chesterfield job, so that's not going to happen.
Crawley maybe, but...
Nah, look, you
I suppose if you want the background,
exactly, yeah. But look, nobody wants Keith Long out on this podcast, but we want to see how the first 10 games goes. As I said, it's important for him. He needs to put wrongs to right, and I think it's pretty important for him.
Yeah, I think he's not going to get sacked, I don't think, unless we're in a horrendous position in the middle of the summer. I don't think there's any chance he'll get sacked, but I want him sacked. I think if we don't get Europe next season, I think he's going to be under pressure.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it could be... I don't know if it's going to be pressure from the board, but it's going to be certainly pressure from the fans. And then he'll have his last year contract where it's going to be make or break for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'll be 10 years of balls there regardless. That's a serious fucking service.
Serious time. Legend either way. Let's talk about Friday now. Dundalk. Keith Ward returning to Daily Mount. Stephen O'Donnell has put an okay team together. I think someone said on the forum, there's a good point, that Dundalk will go into this game with absolutely zero study on how we're going to play, what we're going to line up, and who our 11 is. You know, they could probably have a good guess there, but they don't know how we're going to play.
Yeah.
They don't know how Jordan Doherty's going to play. They don't know how our wingers are going to play. You know, we've new players in there. They're probably going in a bit blind, which is a good thing for us, but we don't have maybe the match sharpness, you could say.
Yeah, they've got the
competitive sharpness.
They've got that one game under the belt that we don't have. I think it's going to be a very, very messy game.
Yeah.
Because I think they're obviously still going to be gelling. We're essentially still going to be gelling. I think that maybe 11 we were talking about that will start?
Will be from last year.
It's
potential.
My guess would be Talbot and Gore, right back Feely. I think it's going to be Finnerty, Kelly, Wilson.
Yeah, no, I think you're right
I
there.
I think it's going to be Doherty and Devoy in the middle.
Devoy, yeah.
I think it's going to be Bort, Coote.
Bort's going for a scan.
It's not going to be Scan. It's going to be Malin.
Yeah.
It's going to be Ali.
Yeah.
It's going to be
Twardek.
Twardek, and up front it's going to be Promise.
I think you're right.
And while you might say Twardek, he's already been there. So the only new face in the squad really is going to be Jordan Doherty.
I think you're right. Yeah. So maybe they might have a bit of an edge on us there. We're playing Pats then on the Monday. Look, probably hard to predict how that's going to go. We'll see how their fixture goes this weekend. Look, obviously we want to get off to a good start. We're going to Ballybuffet next Friday. We don't want to go up there with 2 losses under the belt. That'd be a nightmare start. Just as well as a Jacks in the bus because I fucking shit myself. But it's a difficult start. It's as difficult a start you could ask for. You probably want UCD and Finn Harps at home there, your first 2 games, to get 6 points, but we didn't get that. We got a tough start.
We had Longford and at home and Finn Harps away last 2 seasons and we had 1 point after 2 games
exactly,
as well.
Yeah.
So. You know, these things don't go with football. It's never as straightforward as it is. If it was, you wouldn't watch it.
Exactly. No, that's a fucking great point.
I think a start is important.
Yeah.
We said that a start is important. We're going to have to go with those first 10 games being within touch of fourth spot. And I don't mean, because there's not going to be that much in after 10 games anyway, but I mean we have to be a point or two within the fourth spot before we start really gelling and getting into things. And then I think the summertime, you'd hope that we're going to have a bit of recruitment to replace players who could potentially go.
I think you're dead right, absolutely. So, that seems to be that for this week. Obviously, we didn't have a guest in. We will have two guests in next week, hopefully, with us, two professional footballers. And we'll do the same. We'll swap between guests and fans. We'll get stories and we'll give everyone a bit of a giggle all the same, just not as frequent as it would have been.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll be in touch with our sponsors as well.
We'll be up on the sponsors.
I think I need a haircut. I think we
need... You need a hair transplant. Well, I don't think we're getting any sponsorship from BlackRock, and I don't speak Turkish.
We might try to get a few beers off Bodge and a bit of clobber as well. Absolutely, absolutely.
But I suppose we'll wrap up.
Yeah, here's to another year of winning nothing.
Here's to another year of fucking mediocrity. Another year of disappointment.
Yeah.
But no,
Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Absolutely, yeah.
So call me fucking crazy.
There's one thing I don't want to be. I don't want to be in the FA Cup this year. FAI Cup.
You don't want to be in it?
No.
You don't want the heartbreak?
Well, 2 days off work after the final. The Monday and Tuesday off. I couldn't go to work for the week.
Yeah.
Sat there depressed in me. In my soiled undergarments.
You're going to make me cry. I had soiled undergarments as well. Look, the less said about that, the better. Right, guys, we'll see you next week.
And as we always do, come on the football.